You're listening to the Burn Youth Podcast. We hope this message encourages and challenges you to live for Jesus. Let's get into it.
Who remembers BuzzFeed? I don't know if that's like a this generation thing. Is it just me? You remember BuzzFeed? Okay, cool. All right. Did anybody ever do like the BuzzFeed quizzes? Like, you know, spend your class time actually doing BuzzFeed quizzes and finding out what Disney sidekick you'd be if you choose your favourite ice cream. Yeah, that's kind of what I did. So anyway, I just figured we're going to start off with a bit of a BuzzFeed quiz as well. Jog the memory, get us moving. So we're going to pretend to be a dog for a day and they'll tell us what dog breed matches our energy. So... what do we think? What do we want our name to be? Got Charlie, Luna, Bella and Max. Okay, I'm hearing Max. We're going for Max. All right. What's your favourite doggo hobby? I like napping. Napping is it. Yep. What toys are our favourites? Okay, balls. All right, balls. Which human food always has you begging for a bite? All right, this is the most controversial one. Pizza. Pizza. Yeah, pizza. All right, which of these do we hate the most? Bats. It's bats. I chose the same thing. I reckon. Finally, where's your favorite place to sleep? All right. A poodle. Okay. The poodle is the Burn Youth spirit animal. We are classy and intelligent. Do you think so? Are we classy and intelligent? Stylish? Yes. We're stylish. Yeah, okay. From the newest fashion trends, the scientific breakthrough, always brimming with information. Okay. Cool. Anyway, so some of the other BuzzFeed quizzes I came across were things like, tell us how much you'd pay for these cafe items and we'll tell you what Australian city you're from. They actually got it right, which was kind of, I have no idea how, that, okay, but that's the least random of all of them. There was live like a frog for a day and we'll tell you if you have what it takes to be a frog. I do, by the way. BuzzFeed said it first. Answer these seemingly random questions and we'll tell you which chocolate dessert you are. I forgot what chocolate dessert I was, but whatever it was, I am happy. And the black and white animals you choose will reveal the type of milk that you are. I was chocolate milk, so I'm very happy with that one. Has anybody ever done like a, if you were an animal, what would you be quiz? Yeah. Okay, cool. Solid amount of people. I did one. Apparently, I would be a tiger. Special emphasis on raw emotions, primal instincts, unpredictable ability to trust myself and my intuition and a spontaneous approach to life. I don't know. Is that right? Is that... I don't know. So these kind of quizzes ask you questions about your character and your personality traits, and then they choose an animal or an ice cream or a Disney sidekick or something that represents those traits. They symbolize who we are and what we're like. So if somebody asked you what you're like and you told them a type of animal, they could probably understand more about your character and personality if they thought about it. They'd have to probably like sit and ponder a little bit. I feel like it's a similar thing with the Holy Spirit. Also the same thing about having to think about it and to analyze it. So that's kind of what we're going to do today. So just like the symbols of the Spirit, kind of like analogies, that's like Jesus, how Jesus spoke in parables and analogies. And it's a similar concept, you know, easier to remember, it's easier to understand and comprehend. He takes obscure ideologies, is that a word? Like, you know, because he's talking about things that happen more in our prayer life and our thought life. Because the way we interact with the Spirit is far more what happens in our prayer life and our thought life than physical. So he uses physical examples to explain spiritual ideas. So For example, to understand the joy, the hope, the life, the guidance, the gifts, and the satisfaction God has to pour into us, Jesus doesn't explain the deep theological intricacies of how to spiritually open up to this life in the Spirit. Instead, he says in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus has not yet entered into his glory. So, speaking of, the first symbol of the Spirit that I'm going to talk about tonight is water. So, who's you know, been reading your Bibles and you've come across the scripture kind of talking about the Holy Spirit as water, or like the one that I was talking about before? So like I was saying before, with having to kind of think about these symbols to really unpack what the Bible is talking about when it talks about them, we need to have a think of the characteristics. So just like yell out some characteristics and uses of water. Like, what's water like? Drinking, yeah, for sure. Yeah, water is what, yeah, I knew I'd get water is wet at one point. I was like, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. So yeah, it refreshes, it cleanses, it calms. I love that scripture in Psalms that talks about how God leads us beside still waters. It gives life and it satisfies and it sustains. Which kind of reminds me, a little plug into Pathways Connect episode on YouTube. You should go watch it. When Pastor Hamish said that every living thing depends on water to keep alive. I mean, it's really obvious, but for some reason, when I like heard him say it in the context of the symbols of the Spirit, I was like kind of mind blown. Like, we depend on water to keep us alive. And when you connect that with the Holy Spirit and who he is in our lives, we depend on him to keep us alive. And now it doesn't mean we're going to drop dead if we forget about the Holy Spirit for a second. But, you know, Christ came to give life and give life to the full, right? To actually live life. God doesn't just have life for us in eternity, but he has life for us now. And so that's what I mean. Like, you know, he pours water into us. He pours this living water into us to, like I said before, to give us joy and hope and life and satisfaction and to sustain us through life. In Ephesians 3, Paul is writing to the church and says, "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever." So that reflects more like the gentleness and his abundance of loving kindness and his abundance of life to pour into us. Water also fills and it flows. So I put this little this little thing going on here. So have you ever seen like one of these mountains of cups before? Right. So, you know, you like, you pour the water in the top, and this is kind of what God does. And he doesn't just pour us to the brim. He doesn't just pour us to get us by. That abundance that I was talking about before, he just keeps pouring into us. And for the sake of loving his people, we have been called to pour out into other people with what God has poured into us. And so, yeah, this is kind of, I'm kind of nervous about, it's not going over this side. It's going to go like off. All right, anyway. So that was my little demonstration. Thank you very much. It didn't fall over. But yeah, so He fills you with overflowing for the sake of those around you and for the church. So something I have for you to just think about is like kind of like what I was praying about before is to empty your cup so he can fill it. Like empty your cup, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more in a second, but God can't actually fill you up with water if you're filled with all the stuff from the world, if you've filled your cup already with worries and you've filled your cup with all the stuff that doesn't need to be there, that he's actually asked us to let go of and to submit to him. So let go of that so he can fill it, and then open yourself up to his abundance so he can fill it to overflowing, and then use that. Work in other people's lives, serve other people, and you know, show God's love to other people, because he is the source of love. You know, we can love from his resource. So the next symbol of the Spirit we're going to move on to is fire. So who's heard of the Holy Spirit described as fire before? We spoke about baptism of the Holy Spirit the other month. What are some characteristics and uses of fire? Yes, it's hot. Oh, yeah. Burns, burn you. Hashtag. Okay. Anyway, so arson, does that mean like setting something on fire? Oh yeah. Well, that's yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to specifically talk about the purifying and refining qualities of fire. Now, these are, maybe you've heard the analogy before, but and it's written in scripture about the furnace and the like purifying silver and purifying metals. Now, hold on 1 second. Got it in my pocket. So this little thing is what when about a year and a half ago, when Jackson and I started dating, he is really into science and stuff. And so he had this video about melting aluminium on his hashtag YouTube page. Check it out. and so I think low-key he wanted to show off that he had a girlfriend to his YouTube subscribers. So he was like, let's do another melting aluminium video, even though I already have one. So he did it. And this is kind of what it looked like. So that's what this looked like before it was solid. So basically what we did was we made this little thing called a crucible, and it's like those money tins that you get from dollar stores. I mean, back in the day they did it, I think, a lot more professionally, where they like put it in the ground and they like, it was big and it was, anyway. So we, you know, heated up these coals to really hot, and we put in like the these aluminium things, like, I don't know, Coke cans and tin foil. And as we were melting it, I think this was after we had already like scraped the impurities off the top, because what happens is the paint from like the Coke can and all that and the plastic lining on the inside, it's not aluminium, and so it separates from the aluminium and kind of floats to the top. And we don't want that in our final product. So we scrape it off the top, and then, you know, we do it again and we scrape it off the top, and we heat it again and we scrape it off the top until it looks, you know, until it's like, it looks pure and it looks, you know, silver, like aluminium. And then that's, you know, that's that. That's ready. In Isaiah chapter 48, the Lord is talking to his people of Israel saying, I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. I will rescue you for my sake. Yes, for my own sake. I will not let my reputation be tarnished, and I will not share my glory with idols. So, just like Jackson and I were melting the aluminium and scraping the impurities off the top, when we go through, you know, when we go through tough things in life, when we go through certain situations, God, you know, who knows, God lets us go through that. Like, we we will walk through fires and our life is not going to be easy just because, you know, we know Jesus. But what it is, what it will be is hopeful. What it will be is not the end, basically. And so God actually uses these trials in our life to bring the impurities to the surface, to expose certain things in our heart that is stopping us from being perfected in our faith. Like, you know, if you're going through a tough time, something might come up in your heart that will kind of expose maybe your selfishness or your problem with anger or your unforgiveness to this person, right? And God, you know, he brings you through it. He scrapes off those impurities and you move through and you're more pure than you were before. And so that's kind of what the process of sanctification is. It's getting rid of the stuff. In Hebrews 12, Paul is writing, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." So one thought I had when I was reading that and when I was preparing this was that it's not your job to be perfect. You know, God does it for us and with us. It's a collaboration. You know, we can't just sit back as either and just like wait for him to do stuff in our life. We've been given a role of action, a step to take to collaborate with God in this, but we can trust that God in his timing will bring us to where we need to be and he will perfect our faith. I mean, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get bogged down sometimes in realizing my flaws, in realizing the places that just aren't perfect yet and the places that just aren't, you know, God honoring yet, even when I slip back into sin or when this or that happens. And I feel like I'm so far behind. I'm just not perfect. But then I realize I'm actually doing all I can by keeping myself open to what God has to expose in me. And now it's his job to just gently and in his timing, take me through the steps to perfect my faith. So that reflects the Holy Spirit's testing and refining characteristics of us for our growth and sanctification and his glory. And he does that to commission us and empower us. Often when you see the Holy Spirit written as in the context of fire, it's used in the context of a commission, sending someone out, like when he was talking to Moses, you know, the story of the burning bush, when like Moses, you know, stumbles upon a burning bush and he was like, "Whoa, this is cool, I want to check it out." So he checks it out. And God speaks to him, like he's like the fire, he's, you know, showing himself as the fire, and he's speaking to him and he commissions him to lead his people out of Egypt. And then when they're in Egypt, God, you know, appears as a pillar of fire to lead them through the wilderness. So that's how he commissions us, and then he empowers and equips us. In Acts 2, chapter 2, it says, "Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At this time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. 'How can this be?' they exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. We all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. And so we spoke more about baptism of the Holy Spirit last month. So if you want to learn more about that, we've got we've got YouTube videos and the Pathways Connect episodes. Definitely recommend going and checking those out. But my point is that he commissions us, and his commission is to spread the word of God. And then he doesn't just leave us there. He empowers us and he equips us to go and do that. So some of the other symbols of the Spirit, which I'll let you go through in your own time, which I highly recommend, is wind, dove, like a dove, clothing, seal, like a wax seal, that kind of seal, like the one that stamps on, like, I don't know, I picture like the wax seals that you see on Instagram and they pour it on like a envelope and then they stamp it, that kind of thing. And oil. So, like, you know, this is all well and good. The symbols of the Spirit represent these things, but why, like, how can this help us? Why should we remember them? As I was praying about this, I had the thoughts about how remembering these symbols can help with your prayer life. I was actually praying the other night while I was preparing this message, and without even knowing it, I started praying with one of these symbols. Basically, I was about emptying my cup and God filling it with his words to pour out into you guys. And I just realized that was kind of the point God was giving to me as I was preparing it. So yeah, it will help with your heart position in prayer as you also remember who God is to you and how the Holy Spirit will work in your life. It will give you hope in trials. Like with fire, you'll remember while you're in the middle of a trial and a situation that's getting you down that God's actually perfecting your faith through it. He says, or in James says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing or lacking in nothing." And finally, discernment. So when you're in a situation, you can actually see where God is and how he's moving. It will remind you that his hand is in the situation, and you'll be able to see where God is guiding you. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity that I have to have spoken into these young people, Lord. And I pray that people have points to take away, God, and that will help them in their life and in their walk with you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the community that we have here, and that we can be all together seeking you, seeking your word, and learning more about you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to the Burn Youth Podcast. To stay in the loop, follow us on Instagram @BurnYouth. See you next time.